Introduce myself. I'm Blair Nichols. I work for Berkshire Hathaway in Australia, for those who don't know me, but I think I know a lot of people around here. This afternoon's session, we've got quite an eminent panel. I'll introduce each of the panel members as they do a short presentation to start off with. The structure for this afternoon is there's going to be about a 3 or 4 slide presentation, so quite short. And following that presentation, there'll be a longer Q&A session. So that will give us the opportunity there to ask either the regulator or to eminent insurance executives questions about how they actually look at cap modelling from the board perspective on a day-to-day basis. This session has been deliberately aimed titled on my watch rather than on your watch, because these are the guys whose watch it is. So APRA and the executives of the insurance companies, in the end, they have to take the responsibility for what's actually happening as far as cats go and what reinsurance gets bought and how you protect that risk or what risk you even think you have. So that's the discussion. So first of all, going into, or should I just say, for the question and answer session, the normal sort of methods will be used there to do the question and answer session. There's the SMS number, there's the Cat Risk Connect portal. There's also the good old traditional microphone, all work very well for doing questions. For the first presentation today, we have Ian Lachlan, who I think most people in the room would know. He's the Deputy Chair of APRA. Ian was appointed as a member of APRA in 2010 following an extensive career in the financial services industry. He has held a variety of senior positions and board positions in a number of major organisations, both in Australia and overseas. Ian became Deputy Chair of APRA in July 2013. So, first up, Ian.
Thanks, Blair. Gee, it's good to see so many people interested in this topic, so good to see you here. Blair said something there that caught my ear. He said something about responsibility for cat risk management and, you know, we're in the hot seat, in effect. I just want to make it clear, you're in the hot seat, and we're not. Okay, so most of you will be aware that cat risk management has received quite a bit of attention from APRA in recent years. And more generally, we've done a lot of work on improving risk management standards across the industry, with a particular focus on risk appetite. And we've also done a bit of work on risk governance and risk culture. And of course, not that long ago, we revamped capital requirements under LAGIC, including ICRC. So I'd like to draw a few of those threads together in the specific context of cat risk management. So risk management standards for general insurance have been in place for a few years, so GPS 220. In more recent times, through our supervision activities and various interactions with industry and individual insurers, we have sought to lift the quality of risk management across the industry. And this was largely about appropriate implementation of GPS 220. Now, as part of this process, we paid particular attention to risk appetite. We focused on risk appetite because it lays the foundation for sound risk management, and it is a very effective vehicle for board engagement in risk matters. In our early work, we found that the concept of risk appetite was poorly understood, and its articulation and the use of risk appetite was really quite inadequate. Since then, there's been a lot of progress, and that's not to say that we are where we want the industry to be, but there's been a lot of good progress. More recently, of course, we've produced CPS 220 to take effect from 1 January 2015. That's a risk management standard across the various industries. And that's quite similar to GPS 220 with a few extra requirements. Now, amongst other things, CPS 220 makes it clear that the risk management framework must address all material risks. And the risk appetite must set out for each of those material risks the maximum level of risk the insurer is willing to operate within. Now, this means that for a property insurer, cat risk must be addressed in the risk management framework and specifically considered in the risk appetite. Turning now to risk governance, a couple of years ago, we increased the attention we were giving to risk governance and risk culture. Now, given the importance of cat risk, its complexity, the level of uncertainty in estimating its size, and the potential impact of cat events on the financial viability of an insurer, it's really essential that the board pays close attention to cat risks. The board needs to satisfy itself that cat risks are well understood, that they are quantified as accurately as possible, that they are mitigated appropriately, and that the residual risk is within appetite. In other words, there needs to be strong governance. So we've challenged boards to ensure their standard of governance of cat risk is consistent with its importance. Risk culture is also particularly relevant for cat risks. So clearly a belief in a considered systematic approach based on thorough analysis and deep understanding will produce a quite different outcome to, for example, a cavalier attitude where the first estimate of PML is considered good enough because it's pretty hard to be accurate anyway, isn't it? The latter attitude to cat risk might cause an insurer no difficulties for years on end, but it's hardly appropriate when considering the prudential management of a balance sheet and a probability of sufficiency of at least 99.5%. There should be a deeply embedded desire to understand cat risks and a strong belief in the need for robust governance and management to keep those risks within appetite. And that should be across the company, not just at board level. Turning now to capital management, to recap very briefly, as part of the LAGIC review, we significantly changed the capital requirements for cat risk. The insurance risk concentration charge is the greater of the vertical and horizontal requirements, as many of you will know. We've used a probability of sufficiency of 99.5%, and we've used a whole of portfolio basis. And there must be a contractually agreed reinstatement. So these changes were intended to better capture cat risks, including the possibility, of course, of multiple smaller events. Now, partway through the LAGIC review, we had the 2010-11 series of natural events. So floods in Queensland, Victoria, Cyclone Yasi, storms, Melbourne, bushfires in Perth and so on, earthquake in New Zealand. Given the significance of these events for the industry, APRA conducted a thematic review of the catastrophe modelling, governance and risk management policies and practices applied by a sample of property insurers. Now, from this, we concluded that the industry's management of cat risk needed improvement. And we provided detailed feedback to industry in a letter last year. And those of you who haven't read that letter, I think it was in December sometime, I suggest you do so, because it does reflect what we found and it reflects our thinking. That letter, of course, included a series of challenges to management and a few to the boards as well. And I think, you know, reviewing those challenges is a healthy thing to do. Now, we supported this feedback with various interactions with industry. I've made a couple of speeches and with individual boards and senior management. And it's worth understanding that we do have, you know, direct conversations about these sorts of things with senior management and directly with the boards. So when we go and visit a property insurer, the board of a property insurer, they should expect that we'll raise this topic. The main points we've made are that boards and senior management of insurers should satisfy themselves that the policies and practices they follow for cat risk management are sound and lead to appropriately prudent outcomes. Excuse me. And each insurer should ensure that it clearly sets and articulates its appetite for catastrophe risk. It understands the strengths, weaknesses and inherent assumptions of any model it uses. Understands the degree of uncertainty in the results produced by the cat models, and that's a really important point. We might talk about that more later on. Complements model outputs with further work, including scenario testing and other analysis. Makes decisions in relation to catastrophe reinsurance arrangements in light of all of what I've just said, and satisfies itself that the residual catastrophe risk is truly within its appetite. So to summarise all of this, APRA wants each insurer to challenge itself about its governance and management of cat risk or cat insurance arrangements, reinsurance arrangements, and aspire to very good practice. We particularly want the insurer to develop a strong risk culture, to understand the strengths and weaknesses of any models it uses, the degree of uncertainty in the results produced. We want model outputs to be complemented by further significant analysis. And lastly, we want the insurer to satisfy itself that the residual risk, again, is truly within its risk appetite. So thanks, Blair. I'll hand over to you again.